Well, let's prepare to study the scriptures. Join me in prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This weekend we are reading from Parshat Tetzaveh, You Shall Command, which starts in Exodus 27, verse 20. So I encourage you, if you have your Bibles with you, to go ahead and open to that passage, Exodus 27, 20. This weekend's Torah portion begins with an instruction to prepare, as the English says, a light that burns continually in the sanctuary. In the Hebrew, it has a simple phrase to describe that light. It says, you are to make a ner tamid. We have been amazed how timely the Torah portions are, and this is just another example. Last week, when we had the first service here in the new synagogue, the Torah portion was Parshat Terumah, which called for two things. One was that we receive a special offering from those whose hearts are stirred to give for the new sanctuary, because it was in last week's portion that all of Israel is told that God wanted in the wilderness to make a sanctuary that was entirely funded by people whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits moved them to give. He did not want to receive support from anyone else. And of course, as I pointed out last week, he told everyone to give their tithes and to give other offerings. But regarding the building of the sanctuary, the furnishing of the sanctuary, and all that went with it, he said, I want only those whose hearts are stirred to give. And so it was perfectly timed, wasn't it, that we would read that? And it was also during this Torah portion that we read the word that was a proceeding word for us, that guided us, where the Lord says, make for me a sanctuary. And he showed us his heart when he said, make for me a sanctuary so that I can dwell with them, even dwell among them or dwell in their midst, or as a number of translators have understood, to dwell within them. And so God is expressing to us his heart. And he's saying, I want a place where you can gather because I want to be with you. And when you're thinking about our sanctuary, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's a fantastic, open, and bright space. And the aesthetics are important. But you know why we've concentrated on these details? Because we want to encourage you to come and to experience the presence of the Lord. We want you to come and to have your hearts lifted up before the Lord. Even our ark, which rises up skyward in a sense, is designed to lift you up. Last night, one of the people worshiping was an engineer. And he came to me and he said, I have some questions about this arch, because we have this arch surrounding our Aron Kadesh, our holy ark, which houses the Torah and the Haftorah. And he wanted to know something about its origin. So I told him the simple story, how our architect, Eric Casper, came to one of our services when we were at Bay Meadows, and he watched how we had the special part, the Torah service, that's typical for Jewish synagogues, but not, you know, familiar to everybody else. And he saw how we honor the Word of God. But he also saw one of the dancers in the congregation, Erin Howard, who is tall and lithe, and she had her hands lifted up. He saw many people with their hands lifted up in worship. And he saw this dance and all of that, and he realized that lifting our own hands to the Lord, lifting our eyes to the Lord, lifting our hearts to the Lord is a very important part of our worship. And he sketched out this ascending, curving arch. So I told this engineer the story in no more words than that. And he said, it moves me so much, I'm going to sit down. He sat on the front row after the service. And he just looked at the Neretamid. He looked at the Ark. He looked at the arch. And he was just in meditation, prayer, and contemplation before the Lord for the longest time. It was beautiful. And I think that is what the architect was hoping for and what the design team has been hoping for, that we would gather together here and our hearts would be turned to the Lord, that we would be lifted up towards Him. God wants to be with us. In synagogues all over the world, we're reading this weekend the instruction to make a Neretamid, and this weekend we are dedicating our new Neretamid. Our Neretamid, which is right here. It's classically positioned in front of and above the Aron Kadesh, the Holy Ark. The Ark houses the Torah and the Haftorah scrolls that we have, kosher scrolls handwritten on parchment. The Torah scroll contains what? The first five books of Moses. The Haftorah scroll contains the supplemental readings from the prophets and the other writings of the Tanakh that are read each week. And our Neretamid, which is really beautiful, was created by a renowned artist, Claude Radel. And he is known for his specialty, really, of making Neretamids. His Neretamids are in synagogues all over the country. They're in Orthodox synagogues. They're in conservative synagogues. They're in Reform synagogues. I'm not sure if they're in any Reconstruction synagogues. You may not know this, but there are some Orthodox synagogues that are no bigger than a home group, in a sense, because there are some Orthodox synagogues that are in houses, in someone's basement or in one of the rooms of their house, and they serve just either one family or a small neighborhood of people. And he has made Neretamid for such congregations. But this is his first commission for a Messianic synagogue. And so we really have one of the most respected artists of Neretamid in the United States today, who has honored us with his work. It is beautiful. The Neretamid here burns continually, as all are meant to, in honor of the command to make a continually burning light. And this is really meant to inspire us in a certain way. Last night, we turned the lights off, and we just had the end of our service illuminated by the Neretamid and the uplights that shine upon the Ark. It was a holy moment. We can't recreate that, because this space is meant to be bright during the day and to have a different feel at night. And even if we turn all the lights off, which we will do in a minute, it won't create exactly the same effect. So those of you who were here last night, you can verify that it really was a special moment. And it was awesome. And those of you who weren't here, take our word for it. It was really a very beautiful time. Let's just see what the room looks like without any additional light. We'll just have the uplights and the light of the Neretamid on for this next part. You know, even when the lights are off in this room, it's still got a nice sense about it. And, you know, I look at the lake because of my vantage point. There are two prayers that are appropriate for dedicating a Neretamid. The first one is the Shehecheyanu. And I want to call out the phrases first in Hebrew and then in English, and have you as a congregation join me by actually repeating after me. Let me say a phrase and then you say a phrase. And it would be appropriate for us to rise during this time. I will call out the Hebrew first. And you repeat phrase by phrase, Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Shehechianu, Vekiyamanu, Vahigianu, Lazman Hazeh. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this season. Amen. And I want you to just congratulate the person standing next to you and around you, anyone who's in this row with you or behind you, because this is a special moment. We have one more prayer. And let me point out something to you. It is typical in the life of a synagogue that you establish a Ner Tamid, you place a Ner Tamid only when you start up, you know, the sanctuary. And so very few people have the experience of being present when a Ner Tamid is dedicated. In my case, this is the first time in my life, and it may be the only time in my life that I have participated in the dedication of a Ner Tamid, and that may be the case for you. This may be the only time that you will experience in your lifetime where you will have participated in that moment of placing a Ner Tamid in the sanctuary. So it's a special time. I want you to repeat after me, phrase by phrase, a special blessing for this moment. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu, Melech HaOlam, Asher Kidshanu, B'mitzvotav, Vetzivanu, Lahadlik Ner, Tamid. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to light the Ner Tamid. Amen. You may be seated. As we contemplate the Ner Tamid, it can inspire us about the Lord because this light burns continuously. It's a reminder to us that God is ever present. He says, I will be with you always. Now, sometimes when everything is really bright, you won't even notice the Ner Tamid in the sanctuary. It's when there's darkness around us that light really stands out. God's light is shining in darkness. And in the same way, the light of the Lord is shining on us continually, even though we may not notice it. I want to share with you some passages from John's Gospel because he speaks about Yeshua and he speaks about light repeatedly. The first passage is in John chapter 1, verse 4, where he speaks about Yeshua and he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then in John 8, he says, again, Yeshua spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And I want you to see a connection. Yeshua is not only the light, he gives light to us. He's the light of the world, and he says that his light is useful to you and me, so that we will have light for living. You and I may be living in a dark world, but God has given us light to live in this world. And so we're not to despair. Even if the darkness is great, the light will shine more clearly and more visibly, and it will stand out. John chapter 9, verse 5, Yeshua says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And then in John chapter 12, verse 46, Yeshua said, I have come into the world as light, so that, this is really interesting, so that whoever trusts in me and believes in me may not remain in darkness. You see, each of us has a challenge. We're living in a dark world. And sometimes we don't know how to live. We don't know what to do. And Yeshua says, I've come so that you will have light for this dark world. John 12, 36 says, put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons and daughters of light. You see, Yeshua is wanting us to have trust that enables us to become children of the light. He does not want us just to be living independent lives that don't have an impact on others in our community or others in the world. He wants to give you light so that you can be light to other people. Now, being light, it's really important, the kind of light he's talking about. He is not talking about, let me see if I can describe this. Have you ever watched a TV show where the detectives are interrogating someone? And they've got him in a little room, and there's this light hanging down over him. And you've got, you know, good cop, bad cop going on. And one of them is just haranguing him, and the other one's acting like he's nice so that he can build trust and confidence. And that light's shining, and the room is dark, and the guy's disoriented, and they're intimidating him and trying to pull out information. How many of you have seen that, one of those scenes in a TV or show or movie? That kind of light is not what Yeshua is talking about. And so that means we're not using his light to interrogate the world. We are reflecting his light so that those who are in darkness, who want to come out of darkness, can find a way to come out. And we want to shine light so that others can benefit from the light. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Yeshua gives us some understanding of what it means to be children of his light, because he's already said, I am the light of the world, but now he makes a radical proclamation. He says, you are the light of the world. Now, can you find someone in your row or in front of you or behind you and just smile at them and say, you are light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Now, this may make us uncomfortable, but Yeshua said this. You see, he who is the light is saying, you're the light. Well, what's the difference between our lights? It's very significant. Number one, his light radiates from his very nature, from his being, from who he is. His is the light of God. So what kind of light do we have? Is it our own light? No, actually, it's our reflection of his light. You could have a very vibrant personality who, you know, you light up the room, but Yeshua is not saying that that makes you the light of the world. And you may have gone to your dentist recently and had one of the tooth whitening procedures, and you can smile and, you know, you've got the sparkling new smile, but that doesn't make you the light of the world. You may have bright eyes that are cheerful. That doesn't make you the light of the world. What makes you the light of the world is one thing and only one thing, and that is that you receive Yeshua's light. You take his light into your life. You live by the guidance of his light. His word becomes to you a lamp and a light for your feet. Now, that's not so you can admire your shoes, which may be nice. It's so you can see where to walk and how to walk. His light that comes to you from his word will illuminate for you the practical aspects of daily living, how to live in this dark and troubled world. Your light, then, is a reflection of the light of the Lord. The moment we stop reflecting Yeshua's light, then we're no longer the light of the world. We're something else. We're no longer bringing hope to others. We're just bringing ourselves to others. Yeshua is giving us the clearest instruction and understanding possible that you and I cannot manufacture our light. He's the source of light. We can reflect it. You notice that the moon can be very bright, but it's not because it has its own light. It's simply reflecting light that is coming from the distant sun. And in the darkness, we're able to see more clearly that reflection. In the same way, you and I are sort of like moons, and because we're reflecting light. We don't have so much of our own light as we are dependent on His light. Yeshua said one more thing in Matthew 5:14. Not only are you the light of the world, He said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And I think He's giving us a picture of what it means to be light. It means to be visible to others. It's not that you chase them down with your light. It's not that you interrogate people with your light. It's not that you shine light on other people and other situations so you can find their defects and flaws that would be hidden unless there was so much light. It's something else. It's that your light becomes a beacon that draws people to the Lord. And that's why Yeshua was able to say something very powerful. Just two verses later, Matthew 5:16, He said, "Let your light shine before men in such way that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, among believers, especially in America, but in some groups all over the world, there is confusion about good deeds because people think, oh, your good deeds won't get you into heaven. Some people think you can get into heaven by doing enough good stuff rather than being faithful to God and rather than trusting Him and receiving His atoning sacrifice for us through Yeshua. But the Bible, and especially Yeshua, is perfectly clear that good deeds are expected from those who love the Lord. The good actions, good living is expected from those, and it's natural for us to do good because God is good. And He's merciful. He's full of life and full of love, and He wants to give that to us that we could share it with the world. Not to just keep it for ourselves, but to share it and to share it prominently. And Yeshua says that there is a way of living where His light that comes to you is then shining on other people. And they can see His light because of the way that you and I act and the good things that we do that reflect His love, His mercy, His truth, His goodness. And that will cause them to do what? To glorify our Father in heaven. It won't necessarily build our name. It will build His name. And so if your motive is ever wrong and you start doing good deeds for yourself and your own reputation, it won't really get you anywhere. It's like the person who receives their reward here on earth, and that's all they get. But there is another kind of reward. It's a reward that will last for eternity, and it will accompany you in eternity. And when we're thinking about Ner Tamid, the light of eternity, I want you to make this connection. God, who is brilliant, enters our world and gives us light. And He asks that we, this is how we as Jewish people understand it, that we honor His word, number one, and number two, that we place a light above His word to draw our attention to Him and to his word and to remind us of the things of eternity. For those of us who are messianic, who trust Yeshua, our Messiah, we add this other dimension that when we're contemplating the word and we're contemplating Ner Tamid, we're also thinking about how Adonai has shared his light with us. And it enriches us as a messianic Jewish community to bring these thoughts together. It is such a privilege that we have to be here at this moment, to be here on this weekend at this time, on this day when the Jewish people on this planet all read, "Make for me a Tamid." Last week, "Make for me a sanctuary." This week, "Make a Ner Tamid." And we have the privilege of responding with concrete action and faith. I want to ask our Talit team to regather, to bring the Talit back, because we're going to close our time together under the Talit with a blessing. We're going to set up our Talit in front of our Ark, in front of our Ner Tamid, and after they're set up, I'm going to invite you to come down. I want you to remember something, or perhaps it's new to you, but our architect looked at how we set up our very large Talit, chuppah size. And the center post in the middle that keeps it prominent and high enough so you don't get trapped underneath it with a dip. And then he looked at this space, and he envisioned that the post in the center was like the post that holds up the middle of the Talit, and he wanted to represent the fringes on the corners of the Talit, and represents that with the pendants that are hanging here. And so now I just want to invite you, if you want to honor the Lord and his light, and you want to reflect his light to others, especially in this upcoming Purim week, but in the weeks to come as well, come up right now, join together. You may have to crowd a little bit to get yourself in place. It's a holy moment. Lord, we dedicate this time to you. We're dedicating this Ner Tamid to you. And we're honoring you because you are the light of this world and you are the eternal light. And our entire connection with eternity comes because of your love, your desire to call us family, sons and daughters, your desire to transform even these bodies which we currently have into something that's suited for eternity. And we want to stand before you and consecrate ourselves to you. We want to thank you that through your holy sacrifice, through Yeshua, who is our Pesach and our Kippur, we have deliverance and we have atonement. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for bringing us out of one kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of your beloved Son. Thank you, Lord, for shining light upon us and for giving light to us, that we would have light for living that comes from you, from your word, by your spirit, through your instruction. We want to offer ourselves to you as your servants, to say to you, we love you. And we recognize, Lord, that you have given us a privilege that many never have, of being here in a land of freedom, on a day of rest, in a place filled with shalom, where we can dedicate this Ner Tamid to you and dedicate ourselves to you. Lord, we want to personally be a sanctuary for you, where your Holy Spirit can dwell within us. and where we can unite together in love and community to serve you and to serve one another and to serve this world around us. Give us a heart for service. We pray, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all who are being stirred for giving to Ruma, the special offerings for the sanctuary, for the synagogue, for the fellowship cafe. Thank you for the provision that has come in, that is coming in, and that will come in. Thank you for all those who have labored on behalf of this work. We pray your encouragement will fill us up. We pray your hope would fill us up, and that the joy of life with you would be our hallmark. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Smile and congratulate the people around you. That they're here with you today is not an accident. Congratulations. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations.
This is our second year.
That's right. You have two in one lifetime. Very special. Very special.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Sometimes people who are listening by podcast, if you can return to your seats and we'll gather together, we'll have a little opportunity for fellowship afterwards. Sometimes the people who join with us by listening to podcasts, they may hear a little bit of silence and they wonder what's going on. And we keep some of the silence. We don't edit it all out to make some really slick production. We want to share with the entire world the experience we have as a community when we come together. And as well, when we're congratulating each other, people who are listening by podcast can actually participate in the same thing. Because if they're listening as a couple, as a family, or as a group, as a number do, they can do exactly the same things that we're doing. We're not trying to create a slick show for anyone. We're trying to use the technology and the opportunities that we have to reach people all over the world and to invite them into the life that we have as a congregation because of Yeshua. And yes, last night, Jessica was here, Holt and Deborah Laird's daughter was here, and she is in Guantanamo in Cuba, and she said that they are listening via podcast regularly and that there's a whole group down there that's joining with us week after week and listening with us. So God's doing a work. I introduced her to Manuel, who is from Cuba. And he said, aha, you're in the other Cuba, Guantanamo. You know how the things are there. You understand the difference, I think. But we're always happy to hear from people who are listening via podcast and who are reaching out to others with the good news of Messiah Yeshua. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. I want to ask you not to stand by yourself, but to stand with someone, to gather together. As we're getting ready for this, some people have asked about the Terumah offering who were not able to give last week, and I want to tell you that you can keep giving Terumah offerings. We're going to be receiving those in March and April. And there are Terumah offering cards that are available in some of the seat backs in front of you. They look a little like the visitor cards, but they have Terumah on them. That's what makes them different. And some instructions on front and back and some scriptures. And there were some people who asked, can we give over a period of weeks and or months or even over a year? And the answer is, of course, yes. And feel free to give as the Lord leads you. The giving that brings joy and cheer to you is the giving that the Lord wants to receive for this. And I want to thank all of you who are responding to this. We're having an incredible response. And I believe that the response is actually going to be coming from all over the world on behalf of our congregation and our sanctuary. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you continually. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. Amen.